The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
So Trey Watkins in the studio with us. He's going to comment on a couple things. I want to listen to some audio here. This is of Mitch McConnell yesterday. Pretty upset about things, Trey, about Joe's speech that he gave the other day. Joe served alongside of Mitch McConnell for the last 87 years in Congress, in the Senate specifically. Actually, you know, we joke about that, but they did serve alongside each other for decades. So they've known each other for a long time. And this is Mitch McConnell's take on what happened in Georgia the other day.
Yesterday, that very same man delivered a deliberately divisive speech that was designed to pull our country further apart. 12 months ago, this president said we should see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. Yesterday, he called millions of Americans his domestic enemies. 12 months ago, the president called on Americans to join forces, stop the shouting, lower the temperature. But yesterday, he shouted that if you disagree with him, you're George Wallace. George Wallace. If you don't pass the laws he wants, you're Bull Connor. And if you oppose giving Democrats untrammeled one-party control of the country, well, you're Jefferson Davis. 12 months ago, this president said disagreement must not lead to disunion. Ah, but yesterday he invoked the bloody disunion of the Civil War, to demonize Americans who disagree with him. He compared, listen to this, a bipartisan majority of senators to literal traitors. How profoundly, profoundly unpresidential. Look, I've known, liked, and personally respected Joe Biden for many years. I did not recognize the man at the podium yesterday.
Did not recognize Joe Biden in Georgia, not the guy he had served with in the Senate.
Well, I mean, we had a conversation with Dr. Bob Denton yesterday, and he was just like incredulous about it. What is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually disagree with one thing Mitch McConnell said. I actually think that Joe Biden is uniting the country, ironically. Because
against
if you
him.
Look at his poll numbers, right. This is the first time in a long time America has actually agreed on one thing. I'm still trying to find the 33% of Americans that approve of Joe Biden. I don't see how it's even possible.
Well, they're just like Jen. Jen, who was saying any criticism of his speech was just hilarious.
Yeah.
She just said, oh, it's just hilarious that they're criticizing him. What's hilarious about it?
The thing is, it is funny. It's because it's so incompetent and bad that it is funny. But at the same time, it's not. It's not funny. You know, it's not a joke because he's, you know, they...
But here's the thing that was so absurd about his speech.
Yeah.
And we talked about this yesterday. I mean, you know, do you want to be Martin Luther King or do you want to be George Wallace? George Wallace, who was a Democrat,
right.
Who was his friend,
right.
Who praised Joe Biden. Joe Biden praised him back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to be Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican,
right?
Or do you want to be what was the other guy?
Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson Davis. Or you know, Democrats.
Right.
Craziness.
I know. It's almost unbelievable. I actually, believe it or not, I turned on MSNBC because I'm like, I wonder what they're saying on this channel because
How are they spinning it?
Yeah. They weren't spinning it. That was what shocked me. The anchor was saying, you know, or the guest they had on said, oh, this is, they just, he's doing this speech simply because, you know, he has to, you know, make good on his promises. He promised that he would fight for this, but there's no way in hell that, you know, this is ever going to pass and that he has to go down there and do this. No one's going to support it. It has, you know,
Not even his own people are supporting it. So who is he checking a box for? Not Stacey Abrams, not right. for the NAACP. Right. They wouldn't even give him a photo op.
So I talked to Stacey Abrams yesterday. She said that she's actually terrified of clowns, and she heard the circus was in town. You know, the circus was coming in town, and she was like, I am getting the heck out of there. You know, I mean.
I was going to say, do you have her phone number?
Wow.
You know, but I mean, smart girl, smart woman. Yeah. I mean, yeah. who would stand next to Joe Biden right now? Who wants right. anything to do with such a toxic administration?
Right.
I can't think of anybody with less credibility than those two, than Fauci.
But it's they've learned nothing yeah. from what happened in the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing. You know, I think they have. They just don't have anything. I mean, everything that they ran on, shoved into a Build Back Broke Better plan or right. whatever it is, you know. Right. And
it's just crazy.
It's a massive failure. I'm not even sure because I'm not old enough to have been, and I'm still young. So I'm like, have we ever been in a place where you know, a political party has gotten to this point so early in their term where mm-hmm. they've hit a wall where everything that they've tried to pass or looking to pass isn't going to pass? Where did it go from here? You know, like I'm
never in my lifetime have I ever witnessed it. I've never seen anything like it.
I thought that, but you know,
but I don't remember like Carter.
I do remember Carter. I'm around long enough. I will tell you this, that Jimmy Carter had this huge summit at Camp David one weekend, mm-hmm. and he invited the media to come help him solve and find solutions to the country.
Wow.
Now that's leading from behind.
Wow.
This was a big deal, and I thought that just and I was young. I was that just doesn't seem right to me, you know.
Right.
Why isn't the president? And I you know I was still learning about politics and stuff. But yeah, Jimmy Carter would be the closest I think to the ineptness mm-hmm. of Joe Biden. But I think Joe's going to far surpass him for this reason. The technology that we have now, the access we have to information mm-hmm. now, it wasn't even remotely close to what it is now versus back during Carter. So Carter may have been a far better president if mm-hmm. he had access like we do now to try to, you know, have some spinmeisters and all that. Spinmeisters have been around forever.
Yeah.
But just not the way the media now dances with the politicians. It was just that dance was beginning in 1980 when Reagan became president.
Right.
Cable news came along at the time. It that changed the landscape. But Jimmy Carter was probably the closest. But Joe Biden, I mean, he's got everything, but he's not going to use it.
But he's making Jimmy Carter look brilliant.
He is making him look brilliant.
You know who else is making him look brilliant? Donald Trump. I'm serious.
Well,
he looks so bad. You know, especially when he's so insulting, and like you said, he has the media on his side,
right?
And his approval numbers are this bad, and he has the media on his side. Imagine if the media actually, you know, treated him the same way they treated Donald Trump. What would his poll numbers be? And you know, what would he do?
I saw a news package at the end of the year reflecting on last year. Okay, this happened in September or December. That's when they start these things.
Mm-hmm.
ABC did a package on Joe Biden, and you would have thought this guy's as strong as he might even be stronger than Putin.
Right?
They took all the best of Joe, mm-hmm. and there's very little of it, and they used it for their news package. And I thought, you ass. I cannot believe you're really going this far. But they are. Because they have the buy-in.
But
they elevated this guy to be our president. And now they have to kind of figure out, we got to help him along because we're going to look like dummies.
Well, but there's no help. There's no help to be had.
Right.
Now, you mentioned Trump and how he's even making Trump look good.
Sure.
I'm curious what your thoughts are about this NPR interview mm-hmm. that Trump did. He ended it abruptly. But he did an interview on Tuesday, and he was pressed on these claims of election fraud, mm-hmm. and that it was rigged against him, and he hung up 9 minutes into the mm-hmm. into the interview. There were several lines of questioning related to the election fraud, and he's still sticking to that. Do you think that's smart of him to do that?
Well,
do you think it makes him look foolish? I think it makes him look really. It makes him, to me, it reminds me of the way Hillary acted mm-hmm. when she lost to him.
Well, I think that you go a certain point where it's a point of no return. You know, I think he fought that so hard, I think it would be worse for him to say, nah, I lost fair and square. You know, I think I think if he was to pivot, it would look even worse because they would jump on him even harder.
I don't know that he needs to pivot. You know? I think he just needs to shut up.
Well, I think he needs to.
Well, I mean, if they're asking him about it, it's hard to not to answer.
But there's a way to say to finesse it and say, look, you and I aren't going to agree on how the last election went. I believe there was fraud. We're done on that topic.
But I believe that he believes
he
can finesse that,
it. He does.
I believe that Donald Trump believes he won.
And he brought it up in the interview. Okay. He's the one that keeps talking about it.
Right.
I just think there are other things that he could talk about.
Absolutely.
And he's never been good at letting somebody else fight his battles. Mm-hmm. There are times when you need to be still.
Right.
And if that line of talk continues, let it continue with other people.
Yeah.
All right.
And he just can't seem to do that.
This is my last thing here. If you go back and listen to his first, what's the speech they give about this time of year? The State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
The media was actually giving him some pretty good points. Mm-hmm. Within 24 hours, he puts out some silly ass tweet and ruins the press that he was getting. And then we would get that for the next...
From the liberal media, too?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even the liberal media said that was a good speech.
Yeah.
But then he tweets something just off the wall, and he's ruined the cycle.
And I don't understand why he can't... He's a smart man.
Yeah, why can't you enjoy...
I think he'll never be exactly who he wanted to be.
We
got to take the good with the bad.
Right.
But I think in order for him to run in 2024, he has to be right about the election in 2020.
Yeah.
I think that if he can't prove or somehow convince or spin the narrative that he actually won the election or cast a lot of doubt on voters, then I think it's going to be hard for him to be able to run in 2024. And I think people would prefer someone like DeSantis or...
Yeah, I don't want him to run in 2024.
You know, Noam or... There's a lot of really good Republican candidates. I think if Youngkin crushes it in the next few years,
mm-hmm.
He could be a good candidate.
At some point,
So it's almost... I think he feels the... I think he sees the writing on the wall. And so I think his only chance is to just... push that narrative as much as he can and hope for the best. And hopefully, you know, in his mind, he's like, man, if I can somehow pull this off, then I'll be able to run in 2024. But I think by then we'll be so sick and tired of the chaos mm-hmm. and of the Trump years and the Biden year combined with the Biden years that people are going to want someone who's just been proven to mm-hmm. be, you know, sane. And not the fake sanity, you know, not the fake sanity that people were sold on Joe Biden.
I know,
you know.
I have to laugh.
Okay.
Is there any sanity up there in D.C.?
I don't know.
Around?
We'll be back. We got to go to break, but we will be back. Randy says, at least we had peanuts with Carter.
Well, this is true. 7:49. Trey, you can hang around for another segment with us.
Of course.
Trey Watkins in the studio with us. We do it most Thursdays here on the Morning Jam.
Turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Wouldn't it be insane of you to run for office again?
is she sitting across from me right now?
Well, I don't know why that's funny. I mean, did you have any in-person briefings? I don't find it funny at all.
How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein?
It is great to have you here.
All right, I'm going to tell you how you really get to
your damn news.
Oh, we got more of that coming, maybe.
Oh, I hope not.
How much would you pay to see Hillary and Donald on a...
I think she and Kamala could have a cackle off. I mean,
throw me in there.
Which one would be on the Arthur Richter scale? I don't know. I cannot believe that these rumors are there that she might be coming back to run.
I mean, but it speaks to where they are. What direction are they going to go in? I think the progressives are dead. I mean, they're dead in the water. Where are they going to go? From here, they're... what agenda do they have left in on the progressives?
Right.
Everything else has flopped. 2022, you know, I think the Republicans are going to sweep. I mean, and they'll have
especially
control.
Especially if JoJo keeps going around doing his little speeches.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
That's for sure.
I'm like, please, keep the circus up.
So you're running for Congress this year, and you want the president to come and speak in your district.
No!
Right.
Please, no!
There'll be no shows everywhere.
All right. I want to ask you about a webinar that took place in Roanoke this week. The organization Points for Diversity and Standing for Equity in the Roanoke Valley hosted a webinar that they called Just the Facts. Mm. It was about critical race theory. And they said that the goal was to clear the air about misconceptions that people have about critical race theory. And they say that a critical race theory is just a framework that involves deconstructing aspects of society to discover systemic racism beneath the surface. And they say it's not intended to change the way the history books are what they're saying, but expanding on the wording to include historical facts that have been left out.
I wish that's what it was.
Right. Because it sounds good. That sounds like something we could all get behind.
Yeah. Or the problem with critical race theory is the semantics. You know, the media and everyone defended it and everyone against it. We get into this word salad where we get confused. So critical race theory is this, law school course type college course, but you know, we've lumped everything into that same term. So when it's being implemented in schools, in elementary schools and, K through 12, we're calling it critical race theory, but that's technically not what it is, but that's basically what it is. They've just, because you have to adjust that content to fit K through 12, because you can't teach what you would teach in college, what you would teach to a 21-year-old that you would teach to an 8-year-old, for example. So the way that it's implemented into the schools is not what that person is saying. And I think that's the problem. I think to a college, to an adult, if you want to take a critical race theory and learn about these things that you may or may not agree with, it's almost like taking like a philosophy class or something, you know what I mean? Albeit, but when you're teaching kids about critical race theory, they're putting it in such a way where you have to demonize white people. You have to teach white kids that they're supremacists and, that black kids are victims, which is literally the worst thing that you can do to African American kids right now is to teach them to be victims and that the system is against them. Teach them hopelessness. It is the worst thing ever. I'm so strongly against
it. And to give them an excuse not succeed. Why would you do that?
It's always, well, at least during my lifetime, it's been part of our culture. And just how the mentality
fostered within the culture.
Yeah, exactly. It's not naturally there. It's been there, honestly, I think since the welfare system sort of started in the 60s. And it's been this woe is me, everything is against me. But even like during Obama years, it's like it's yes, I can, not yes, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't agree with Obama, but at least he was hopeful and saying like, yeah, we can do this.
Right.
You know, not only just as black people, but as a people in general.
Right.
Nothing about this whole critical race theory movement makes sense. And it is flat out racist.
And look,
equity
is racist. I do agree that we do need to expand accurate history. I do think that's true. Yeah. I don't think simply saying Jamestown was a diverse community is accurate.
Right.
You know, I mean, they need to understand why it was diverse and how that came to be. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I also think that black children need to understand that that black people have been here since the very beginning of America, and they weren't here as slaves necessarily.
I agree with that. And they,
they were right alongside George Washington.
Yes.
They were right alongside.
Yes.
Why aren't we telling that story too?
Thank you. There's so many other examples that I can think of free. You can go to Farmville. You know, there were freed Africans who sold property to white people in the 1700s.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
There's so many examples.
That needs to be included as well.
But the only thing that we hear about is, oh, black people slaves.
Right, you know. Yeah.
Trey Watkins with us. Thanks, Trey, for being with us.
Absolutely.
We look forward to next week.
Love it.
CBS News is coming up next. You can always catch all of Trey's interview on our SoundCloud page, The Morning Jam on VTRN.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.